Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today. Jesus is Lord. We are still in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is a verse-by-verse study of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Hopefully, you have listened to previous sessions, and if you haven't done so, I recommend you go back and listen to previous sessions out of the Gospel of Luke. Better yet, listen to my teachings out of the Gospels of Mark and Matthew. And if you have not subscribed to this podcast, I ask that you do so. It's really simple. Just click the subscribe button. No matter where you're listening from, if you're listening to this on iTunes, Apple, Google Chrome, please subscribe. That way you can stay current with what is going on. And let me know how these teachings are helping you. Send me an email. Like this teaching and share it with friends. Okay, because we want to spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So we continue here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. We are calling this Luke chapter 4b because the previous session was Luke A. So in the previous session, we talked about the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ and how God used that as a testing. But it was awesome. I highly recommend you go back and listen so you are prepared to overcome testing and temptations in this world because you will encounter them. That's what the Lord Jesus said. So we are now in Luke 4:14. So what is the gist of this chapter? The Lord Jesus now overcame Satan hands down. He overcame the temptation and he is now filled with the Holy Spirit and he will begin his ministry. Now, I have to just say this before I continue. The filling of the Holy Spirit is absolutely relevant and necessary before we step out into ministry at any level. Because the Bible teaches clearly in several scriptures. One is coming to mind, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that it is the Holy Spirit that will empower us to preach Christ to others. And this filling of the Holy Spirit is a separate event apart from salvation. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are baptized into the kingdom of God. You are sealed by God the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. But there is a separate experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's taught throughout the scriptures. The book of Acts has several examples of this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is necessary. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit, endued with power so you can live in this dark world as a Christian and so you can proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ because it takes boldness to do so. You cannot preach Christ. You cannot minister to others on your own effort. It has to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ here. We are going to find out here how he is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Then he would begin his ministry. Likewise, friend, if you are a minister or even a Christian who is not a minister or a pastor, teacher, you need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And one evidence of that is speaking in tongues. It's just one evidence of that. So if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, can I just pray for you right now? Just open your heart to receive this prayer. And if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit right now by faith, I just feel led by the Lord to do this right now. I'm going to just pray for you and just receive this filling of the Holy Spirit right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I lift up all those whose hearts are open right now and desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit for purposes of having the power to preach Christ to others. Father God, your word says you withhold no good thing from us. So by faith, I just release the power of the Holy Spirit into their hearts right now. By faith, I believe and I accept they are being filled right now. Father God, thank you for all those who have received this prayer and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if that is you, I want for you by faith to just move your lips and just start speaking and some strange wording may come out of your mouth. Just repeat after me. Oh, shambara da baseke ke basura baseke basura. Shambara subara suso babaseke barasubara. Shaba sabase se basura da baseke rabasura. You are speaking your personal language that is called tongues, okay? Just by faith, move your lips. And even if it's one word, you just keep practicing. And the Bible teaches that you practice, you speak your heavenly language to God directly. When you feel weary and anxious, you speak your heavenly language. That is just one evidence of somebody who is filled with the Holy Spirit. There are several, okay? Another is being bold to preach Christ to others. The bottom line is that you need this feeling to step out in faith and preach Christ, so you allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in and through you. So take advantage of this, okay? I hope you have been filled. Contact me to let me know. So let's get into the verses again. Luke 4, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, like I said, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. He is in Galilee. He is about to begin his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how it has to be. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogue and everyone praised him. Now, synagogue, if you have not listened to me, synagogue is like a church. Think of it as a church. Back then, during the Old Testament time, and a synagogue would be started if they had about 10 Jewish families in an area, they would begin a synagogue like a church. So we are learning how the Lord Jesus went into the synagogue and was teaching, being filled with the Holy Spirit. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue and was his custom. He stood up to read. Let me pause. We are finding out that it was a custom of the Lord Jesus to go to the synagogue, i.e. to go to church. What a model for us. Do you go to church? Today, as followers of Jesus Christ, we go to church mostly on Sundays. Do you go to church? Do you belong to a church? Or do you ignore this whole gathering with the saints? The Bible teaches clearly out of the book of Hebrews, do not forsake the assembly of the saints. There is a corporate anointing when you go to church and you fellowship with other believers, okay? So we see the Lord Jesus going to church. Oh, please, we should go to church, okay? Okay. So now the Lord Jesus, as his custom, went into the synagogue. He stood up to read. We are in verse 17, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. He's about to read Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 2. The Lord Jesus proclaimed, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Glory to God. So we see the Lord Jesus filled with God the Holy Spirit is proclaiming that the Spirit of God is on him because he has anointed him, Jesus, to proclaim good news. Good. What is the good news? That him, the Messiah, is there. What is the good news? That him, the Messiah, has come to set people free. This good news is still true today. Today we are anointed to proclaim that good news, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He has come to set us free, free from the hands of the evil one. Let me proceed. The Lord Jesus continued, "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So true. Let me just repeat that. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. Prisoners, who are the prisoners, or who were the prisoners? Those who were held captive by Satan in the bondage of sin. The bondage of sin of that fallen human nature. The Lord Jesus is saying that I am anointed by God the Holy Spirit. to provide freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. Recovery of sight, this is pertaining to spiritual blindness and also physical blindness. Spiritual blindness in the sense that they were living blindly, just being led by Satan, the evil one. He has come to give them light, to bring truth into their hearts. Friend, today, are you still being held captive? Are you a prisoner? Are you spiritually blind? Jesus Christ has come to deliver you from that blindness and to set you free. You are no longer to be a prisoner. The choice is yours. This is simple. The way you do this, you just invite Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. He has come to set the oppressed free. Jesus Christ came to set the oppressed free. And just to repeat that verse 19, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Come on, this is so true. He was there during the gospel era to proclaim favor, that God has favored them, the Messiah had come. Today, we are favored by God. If you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have been set free. You've been set free from the hands of the evil one. You are no longer blind spiritually. You have light and truth in your heart, and you have the favor of God. That is what these verses are saying. Only Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came to give us that, and he did that for us. So have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? He has set you free. He wants you to have his favor. If not, just say right, just repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Right now, I believe Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. I invite you, Jesus Christ, into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart you died for my personal sins, and on the third day you were raised from the dead. I invite you to come into my heart and set me free. By faith, I believe you've accepted me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that genuinely by faith, Jesus Christ has accepted you and you have God's favor, you've been set free, you are anointed, you are a child of God. Welcome into God's kingdom. You've done what the Bible says we should do out of Romans 10, 9, that if you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So if you said that genuinely and you believe genuinely, you are saved, a child of God. And according to Ephesians 1, 13, you have been sealed by God the Holy Spirit. Welcome into God's kingdom. Glory to God. And friend, just contact me if you said that prayer genuinely. I want to send you a free book to help you walk in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so we pick it up here in verse 20. Then, this is the Lord Jesus now, after he had read out of Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 2. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. I love it. And Bible scholars said that he sat in what we would call the pulpit, or the highest chair in the synagogue. He sat in a chair where he was visible to everybody. And he made this proclamation in the sight of everybody in the synagogue with boldness. And now he is finished, and he rolled it. He handed it back to the attendant. Moving on here. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fasting on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Whoa, that was some boldness. Power of the Holy Spirit. So true. He read the scroll and he told them that today this scripture is fulfilled, because I am the Messiah, and I have come as the anointed one to fulfill this scripture. I love it. Hello friends, this is Dr. Ruth here. Thank you for joining me today. I would like to share with you our ministry offer that is available to you as a donation to this ministry throughout my teachings out of the Gospels. So, I have two resources that I know will bless you tremendously, because these two books have blessed hundreds of people. So, the two books all have to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So the first one is titled, Who is the Real Jesus? And the second one is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? So for a ministry donation of $50 or more, this includes shipping and handling. If you live here in the USA, we will mail these two books to you today. Okay, it will provide added clarity, added teaching about the Gospels, the ministry of Jesus, the work of Christ. These are phenomenal resources that would add into the teaching here I'm doing in the Gospels and help you to really have a deeper revelation and walk with the Lord. So again, this comes to us as a donation, and we thank you in advance for considering that. Again, the books are Who is the Real Jesus? And the other one is Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? For a ministry donation of $50 or more if you live in the USA. But if you cannot afford both books and you just want one, it's okay too. We thank you for your donation. So, Who is the Real Jesus? For a donation of $25 or more, including shipping and handling. And then the other book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus, would be $35, including shipping and handling. We will mail these books to you today. The advantage of getting both books is that you would save $10, okay? So again, this ministry offer is only available for those who live within the USA because we cannot ship overseas. But if you live overseas and you're listening to me, you can get these books from Amazon. So here is how you can donate through us directly to get this book as a ministry offer. Our safe and secure website is drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And then if you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here's the telephone number for Zelle. 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. And then we also accept donations through Cash App. And the name there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Or if you just want to bless us with a one-time donation to help us produce more teachings like this and pay for studio time, we thank you abundantly from the bottom of our hearts. And God says thank you. And God is so faithful that He will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So I want to thank you in advance for purchasing this additional ministry resources to help you to gain a better revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. Here is the teaching. Verse 22. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Now, some of them, some of them in Nazareth are going to doubt. They are questioning now. Isn't this Jesus that we know? Isn't this Jesus that we saw growing up? Let's proceed here. Oh my goodness. Familiarity breeds contempt. That's what we are about to learn here. How the people in Nazareth, because they knew him, they saw him growing up, they didn't believe in him as the Messiah. So let's find out how the Lord Jesus would respond. Okay, so just to repeat that. Isn't this Joseph's son? They replied. Verse 23, Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself, and you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. Verse 24, the Lord Jesus continues, truly I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Isn't this sad that, as I was just saying, the people in Nazareth did not accept him as the Messiah because they knew him too much? Verse 23, I assure you that now the Lord Jesus is going to talk about disbelief now. I mean, before I even get into this verse, let me just say this. This is coming to my heart. I call this the Jesus complex, whereby at times even within family members, we see this where God may call a particular family member as a pastor or a teacher, and then other family members would not believe in their calling. Mm-hmm. Because they saw this person grow up, but that is such a loss to the other family members. Because God, the way God does his things, God would always move in our lives. Number one, God's word is a primary way God speaks to us. Let's get that straight. But many times when people are not able to discern what God is saying in his word, God would use the closest person to that person. And sometimes it could be a family member that God may want to use to speak to you. But if you are one of those people who reject your family member who is a pastor, Bible teacher, because you're too familiar with them, that is your loss. That is exactly what we are learning here in Nazareth. These people in Nazareth saw the Lord Jesus grow up as a carpenter, and they could not believe that he would be the Messiah because they saw him in the flesh. They could not see him in the spirit. Boy, are we learning something here, friend? If you have a family member or a close acquaintance who is called by God and serving in the capacity of a pastor, teacher, leader, friend, humble yourself and listen to them. You would be wise to receive from them. Oh boy, I hope you get this, okay? Okay, so now let's move on to see how the Lord Jesus would respond to how the people in Nazareth rejected him. Verse 25, this is the Lord Jesus teaching now. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Verse 26, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. So true. This story can be found in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 16. Again, 1 Kings 17, 7 through 16. What the Lord Jesus is alluding to is the unbelief or disbelief of the people during this time of Elijah. And Jesus is alluding to the fact that God is going to move in their lives only when they believe. Because likewise, they are rejecting him in his hometown, Nazareth. They don't believe in him. Likewise, even during Elijah's time, all those people, they didn't believe, only a widow. And God honored that widow's faith because that widow believed. That is the message the Lord Jesus is saying here. So when you believe, you receive. When you disbelieve, you go without, period. Okay, the Lord Jesus will go on and give another example here in verse 27. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. So true again for the same reason, because this leprous person, Naaman, believed, even though there were others there who also had leprosy. So the principle here is that if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you won't receive. If you don't believe in God, you won't receive. It's the believing that opens the door for God to work in your life. Okay, hopefully you get that and you are in agreement. And this story about Naaman the Syrian who was healed from leprosy is found in 2 Kings 5, 1 through 19. Verse 28, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. Whoa, people don't like truth. This is so typical even today, even among Christians. When you tell them the truth, they don't want to receive it. They get angry at you. Just like we see these people were so mad at the Lord Jesus, they wanted to kill him. Verse 30, but he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Glory to God. I just love it. And I'm going to end this session here. And next time I'll pick it up In verse 31, with the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ out of the Gospel of Luke. So what are the major principles and applications we've learned here out of Luke 4 verses 14 through 30? Number one, the Lord Jesus authenticated scripture by citing 1 Kings 17, 7 through 16, and 2 Kings 5, 1 through 19. Again, the Lord Jesus using Old Testament scriptures in his ministry, showing us that all scripture is God-breathed to help us to live in this world. Number two, unbelief. The Lord Jesus talked about how if you do not believe, you won't receive. Okay, and the major application here is that God is ever so willing to meet you at your place of need, but do you believe in his word? Mm-hmm. Do you believe in the messengers that God has sent your way to affirm that he cares about you? Are you standing on a promise, and do you believe in that promise? The word of God is truth. If you believe it, you will receive. And if you're struggling with believing, the way you deal with this is just to take the promises of God and you meditate on them, you think about them, you think about them, you ponder on them. You know, this is the best method that God has told us in the scriptures that we can change our thinking and receive from him. It's through meditation. Romans 12:1-2 teaches us so clearly that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And you just take the word of God, you think about it, ponder on it over and over, you read it aloud, you speak it over your body. That is how you come against unbelief. That is how you come against disbelief. So if you are doubting God's word, that is unbelief. If you cannot believe God's promises, that is unbelief, and you won't receive. You can change that whole thing by just taking the word of God and you just think about it, you meditate on it, and you just push out that unbelief. And then the Holy Spirit will start to plant roots of truth from that scripture into your heart. So whatever you're believing God for, whatever you're being tempted to doubt, find a scripture in God's word and stand on it and meditate on it. That is the antidote to come against unbelief. Again, just as the Lord Jesus said, if you do not believe, you won't receive. It's not that God is holding anything against anyone, but that's just how the kingdom of God operates. It's through faith, believing in his promises. And faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So find a promise pertaining to your problem. Meditate on it, stand on it, however long it takes. Let it become a reality in your heart, and it will, because the Holy Spirit will help you to receive. I hope you receive this in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have help, God the Holy Spirit, to help us to overcome disbelief, to help us to overcome unbelief. Father God, I pray for all the listeners that their hearts are open to receive from your word. Holy Spirit, I pray you meet them at their unique places of need. Whatever promises they are believing you for, you give them the tenacity to stand and endure and receive. We thank you for you're such a good God. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your presence that is with every listener today. I thank you that you are using my word to comfort them, to bring hope and joy into their hearts today. We thank you for doing these things. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, Amen. God loves you. Please listen to the announcer and find out how you can support us in this ministry. With your love, give donations so we can pay for studio time to produce more programs like this to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves you.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure simple and easy process? Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.